we were talking about Bobby Witt Jr. in the month of May, right? Earlier. And saying how this team goes the way he goes. When the team wins, Bobby Witt Jr. hits 333, has 10 strikeouts and 22 RBI. When the team loses, Bobby Witt Jr. hits 248 with 32 strikeouts and 6 RBIs. Team goes as Junior goes.
Yes, it does. And you know what? That's kind of the badge that you wear, you know, in that type of situation. You've signed the big contract. You're the perennial MVP type of candidate. The pressure is just higher for him. Like, you know, the Chiefs go as Patrick Mahomes goes, right? Bills go as Josh Allen goes. I think you usually go as your star player goes. And if your star player isn't getting the job done, you're going to have a tough time winning baseball games or football games or whatever sport it is, right? You know, you get a cold shooter on a Tuesday night, you're going to lose a basketball game most likely, right? If Bobby Witt Jr. isn't producing, well, that's a big problem because nobody else in the lineup is producing at this point in time. Bobby has to be that catalyst in that lineup. If he's going to wear the cape and be the Superman and be the MVP candidate, he's got to get the job done regardless of what others in that lineup are doing right now.
I don't know if I would be this harsh, but what I want to talk about before we get more into what the record is and to where we can look ahead as we approach June, as the 1st of June is Sunday, somebody says, agree with what you guys were saying. Football fandom has tarnished sports fans using logic.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that the Chiefs are a blessing and a curse for fandom in Kansas City. And where I think that they are a blessing is, boy, have they given you a decade of fun.
No doubt.
And multiple championships in the most popular sport with two of the most popular athletes, one of them being the face of the league, the other one maybe being the face of athletes in the public eye, and Mahomes and Kelsey and Andy Reid and Brett Veach, how they've done it year after year after year after year. I mean, you think about teams that have tried, the Rams, up, then fall. You look at Cincinnati, up, then fall.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore, always getting close, but never actually finishing the job. Buffalo, the same thing, right? But no winning. The Chiefs have won and won a lot and won the most important thing you possibly could do, and that's the Super Bowl. And I think, and I'm not speaking for all of the fans out there, because we've had a lot of people chime in and say, hey, I think this is dumb. It's a long season. Just enjoy the ride. We could be the White Sox like
right,
they had
exactly.
been before.
Or you Colorado, be, you know?
Yeah, who is historically bad.
Yeah.
Or you could be, you know, Oakland and be playing in a minor league ballpark. You'd be Tampa Bay where you know, and right. I understand those are excuses.
Right.
But look, you're two games above 500. You got to stay above 500. I will tell you that. You got to stay above 500. But to go in every single game and every single loss like it's week four and you lose to Buffalo and you immediately react and say, well, I don't know, man. You know, they can't catch. They can't play defense. Spags has lost his touch. Even that's overreaction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would understand if the Royals had, you know, if they dip below 500 and let's say they go two games below 500 and go on like a six-game losing streak, then yeah. Like, we can have a serious talk about what panic feels like. But they have not done that since they did it way back in the day in the season. But then they went and won, what, 17 and 19, 17 to 20?
They won 16 of 18, and they've recently now just lost, what, 11 of 16, I think is the number
500
that we're looking at. Right. It's a 500 baseball team. And look, that's okay to have a 500 baseball team. You're not going to be a world champion every year. And I think it goes back to, you know, one of the most important things that John Sherman said when he fired Dayton Moore was that, look, he goes, like, I just want to see what a wild card team is like. You get in and anything can happen. And that's ultimately what it is. Just get into the playoffs and anything can happen. And this team, barring something unforeseen like a catastrophic collapse, I believe still is a playoff team. There aren't enough good teams out there right now that are battling for the postseason. As much as we love playoff expansion, and it has been great for the NFL, I think it's been great for Major League Baseball because it does keep a lot of teams and a lot of fan bases interested. At the end of the day, there may be too many baseball teams that make it into the postseason, because after the Royals, everybody's at like 77 wins or 76 wins or whatever the case may be. And so all the Royals have to do basically is go about 500, play one or two games better than 500, and you'll have an opportunity to get in the playoffs, and then anything can happen. And you're throwing Lugo, you're throwing Reagans, you're throwing maybe Noah Cameron at this point in time, you're throwing Chris Bubich in the playoffs right now. Like, that's a hell of a rotation that nobody wants to see, because if you look at that rotation in the postseason, you're saying to yourself, all right, we're going to have to play for one run early. We're going to have to change our strategy. Maybe we're going to have to play small ball, get an early run against the Kansas City Royals and try to make that stand up. And so if this team gets into the playoffs, which I believe they will, they're going to be a very big force in the postseason. That's when you can live and die on every pitch, when the games matter, when it gets to the postseason, when those big games and things are truly on the line. That's when you get worked up about it. That's when you invoke that football mentality of every play, every pitch, every game matters, because in October it does. At this point of the season, where there is a huge separation between the teams that will go to the playoffs and the teams that won't, the Royals are in that category of teams that will go to the postseason right now. And the others, they're left for dead at this point in time. And so we've got a team that's going to go to the playoffs. We got a team that's going to keep it interesting all year long. And a lot of cities are already writing off their Major League Baseball season.
The thing about what you just mentioned in the playoffs, because people say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, they're not a playoff team. Well, according to FanDuel and the pace of record, from what they have, the Detroit Tigers and the New York Yankees would get your first byes in the playoffs. They'd be your 1 and 2 seed. The next four teams in the playoffs are Seattle, Cleveland, Minnesota, Kansas City.
Right.
Right. They have the Royals projected to win 85 games at the end of the season. Was their win total at the beginning of the year like 83.5?
83.5, 84, I think, something like that. Yeah, so right on par to where they are.
Again, this is why, and again, I'm not angry. I'm very happy today. I got a lot of sleep last night. Felt good. Because like Bob said, after that bunt thing happened, I went, all right, time to put put the AirPods in, listen to music, and just drift away into sleep.
Well, there's no reason to watch after that.
It's 7-2.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I will be side A and side B of this record. Side A, the positive side. You got Bobby Witt Jr. You have a top three pitching staff that can definitely get you, a staff that can definitely get you to a World Series. You have a bullpen that's fantastic. And you have a promising prospect that, yes, had a very bad night last night at the plate, 0-for-5, 3 strikeouts. I could tell you everything he did last night because I watched it on my phone. He flew out to right field 110 miles an hour, grounded shortstop at 101 miles per hour, got called looking on a questionable strike. I can keep going. Anyways, you have a promising prospect up in the system. You have a team that went to the playoffs last year that knows exactly what they've got to do again this year. Okay? That's side A. Side B, we'll go to the fan side. Like the fans, not 96.5. Offense is terrible. Base running is god-awful. Salvador Perez, your captain, your superhero for years, is looking a little bit more mortal than immortal. That's what 35 will do. We ready to have the conversation about Travis Kelce yet? We can. Because you're about to have this in about 4.5 months. And that's where
we're not.
At.
Travis was OTAs. He's ready to go.
Come on.
He's ready to roll.
25 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a year older. So I think that when you look at this, like, this is what the Royals will be all year. They can be, and they probably will be, an 85-win team. There's probably a big chance that Bobby Witt Jr. will have one of those months where that's just who he is, where he just goes absolutely scorched earth, hits like, what, 389 for the month of June, has 10 home runs, is the player of the month in MLB baseball. All of a sudden, you look at his slash line, it's like, oh, it's 318, it's, you know, 329, whatever it may be. But again, I think that's where you look at baseball. Like, you look at the longevity of what your season is. You are still a playoff team. You are still the same core. You still have that pitching staff. Lugo should be back in his next start. Reagans maybe misses one more, maybe. But again, both of your pitchers are out. Your offense can't hit. And by God, be happy that it's May that this is happening and not end of July, mid-August.
Yeah, because then that would be real panic. If it was end of July and mid-August and all of a sudden, you know, you're talking about a team that can't hit that was hitting all season long, that's a problem to be had. There's still plenty of time, you know, to work this thing out. The problem with Bobby Witt Jr. is right now, if I'm the opposing team, I'm not throwing him a hittable pitch. I'm just not. Not until anybody else in this lineup starts to be productive. And as you pointed out earlier, eventually it is on the player. You know, eventually you're a Major League Baseball player. You're the adult. You're going to work every day. you have got to be, you know, functional at your job. And right now, nobody in that lineup is. And so I know the pressure on Bobby Witt has got to be astronomical. And he's probably wearing that more than we even know at this point in time, because he feels like he has to be the catalyst for this team. That's what leaders do. That's how leadership works in these situations. Those leaders aware that, man. And when things aren't going right, it's on them. And you can tell Bobby's struggling right now. He's trying to do something up there at the plate. But the problem is he's trying too hard to do something at the plate, and it's not working, and it's hurting the team in the big picture. I think if you're Bobby Witt Jr., you're just going to stand up there and throw me a strike. Just throw me a strike, and I'll wait till you do, and stop chasing pitches out of the zone. Because if you're the opposition against Bobby Witt Jr. in the Royals right now, he's the only guy in the lineup that can truly beat you, and you're not going to throw a strike to him. And teams are smart to do so, but he also feels that. So now he's chasing pitches, and here we sit at a guy that's hitting 289 and well below where we expect Bobby Witt Jr. to be. But this is the thing in baseball. You'd mentioned three things: the Salvi age thing, the base running, and the lack of hitting. All of baseball is struggling. We have to keep talking about that, because people want to act like it's just the Royals that are struggling from an offensive standpoint, and that is not the case at all. It's one of the worst years in the history of baseball. From an offensive standpoint, it goes back, in my opinion, to too many analytics, too many numbers, too much bull crap that these coaches are giving the players and filling their heads with numbers. It's ridiculous. You've got to kiss it. Keep it simple, stupid, and make this thing very easy. See ball, hit ball, and go attack it. I think these players today, the reason their numbers are so down and it's an offensively challenged league now, is because we're looking at players that are so concerned with launch angle and mile per hour off the bat and all kinds of stuff that these hitting coaches and agents are telling them to do to go out there and increase their numbers, and it's not working right now, and it's decreasing everything. So that's a baseball problem. The base running thing is the one that needs to be solved, though, Dusty, and I think you're onto something there. That can be fixed. You got to be smarter on the base pass. You got to be better on the base pass. And when you're not hitting, you can't give away outs on the base paths.
I think also to your theory on hitters and exit velo and launch angle, I think it's 50-50. I do think that players are, I think some players are obsessed with it. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a number that is, it's very telling. Right, it's telling you how effing hard you hit the baseball and how effing far you hit the baseball. I think it's also a media thing. I think it's a lot of these guys
yeah,
that
sure.
are announcers and are statisticians and are the guys that some of which we work with mm-hmm. that want to be the first one to be like, holy cow, that was 190 feet, whatever it may have been. And they want to have that shock factor tweet. They want to have that shock factor comment. I mean, hell, guys, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's on the lower right third of Crown Vision.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
every
I know.
Every single play.
It's stupid.
Even if they foul tip it, it's like launch angle, 71.
Have you tried to decipher
speed.
That Crown Vision ever before? Like, go into a game sober one time, and then you can try to decipher Crown Vision.
Yeah.
Because there's too much nonsense up there. It's,
yeah.
it's and that's what the players are getting. It's too much nonsense.
It's the next gen stat of baseball,
right?
Because in football we see it all the time. Like, we in my life, except for the last 5 years, I have never once seen how many times a quarterback has actually thrown it in front of the line of scrimmage. Now every single Monday or Tuesday when I get up, next gen, incomplete passes are red, line of scrimmage is green, completions are green, and I know every single area where that quarterback threw the next morning. And you know who else sees that? Some athletes. And they love to see that long stretch of green
right.
going down the field.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be able to sit here and say that I can't help it, that I enjoy it, and I'm not an athlete, but I also can say that I understand how they can't help it when they're like, damn, I hit that ball how far? I hit it how hard? Okay.
And that, and then you've got guys like Scott Boras telling these guys, the more home runs you hit, the more
and
money you're going to make. And so guys are swinging out of their shoes, and
yeah.
it's not a good game.
And we could talk for a week straight in July if you want about how much Scott Boras has ruined baseball.
Oh, he's terrible.
So, I mean,
he's the worst thing to happen.
Yeah,
to I've said
sure.
it for years. He's worse than steroids for baseball.
For sure.
And I mean, he has destroyed this game single-handedly. But also, too, I think what has destroyed this game is taking away the fun and implementing the nerd into the game of baseball. And I'm not trying to be, you know, flippant when I say that, but you were talking about the announcers, right? And using all these analytic things. Baseball was a better sport when Harry Carey was drunk. Baseball was a better sport when Phil Rizzuto was talking about leaving the game in the eighth inning because he didn't want to sit in traffic crossing the George Washington Bridge to get back to New Jersey. Baseball was better when you had characters in the booth as opposed to dorks in the booth. And that's just the way it is. Baseball has shifted and has become this sport where we have let the statisticians, the nerds, the Harvard grads take over the sport. And quite frankly, it's not as good as it used to be. Like, the characters are what made baseball. The Hawk Harrelsons back in the day, the Harry Careys back in the day, the Mel Allens, the Phil Rizzutos, all those old guys who sit up there and crack a Budweiser, smoke a cigarette, maybe have sex with the owner's wife, and everybody had themselves a time. I mean, and that's what baseball was back in the day. And now we've matriculated, yes, I'm using a new word, to where everything is broken down by a stat and we've lost the fun. And I was talking to somebody in the game of baseball yesterday. I said, baseball will be better when you guys realize you're entertainers. You're no different than the Savannah Bananas. You're no different than Tom Hanks. You're no different than what we do for a living. You're no different than a Broadway show. You're a form of entertainment. The problem is baseball takes themselves way too seriously. And not just baseball, all sports take themselves way too seriously. And they forgot at the end of the day, you're a form of entertainment. You've got to be entertaining if you want people to like what's going on. And talking to them about numbers that have no relevant impact on the game, in my opinion, chases people away. Give me Harry Carey back. Give me a Budweiser. Give me a cigarette. Give me all that kind of fun stuff that used to take place during baseball games. That's missing now. It has become way too super serving of the stat nerd.
Kegs and eggs in football. Let's go.
Let's go.
Hey. Yeah. Last time I heard about Launch Angle, they were putting Neil Armstrong on the moon.
Right. I mean, did you ever hear Vin Scully talk about anything like that? The greatest announcer of all time? No. Talking about that kind of stuff. Just give me the game. Give me the entertainment. Give me the fun. Why do we like John Madden? Entertaining, right? Why do we like Charles Barkley? When has he ever given you a stat about anything?
Rebounds.
But Barkley, a stat that people can talk about. No, everybody knows what a rebound is, right? Barkley, entertaining. The best announcers out there are the ones that are the entertaining announcers. They keep you coming back for more. You don't want to miss what they say. Give me something compelling. Harry Carey was like that. Every game you didn't want to miss. You ran home from school to watch WGN on a Saturday or a Tuesday or a Monday, whatever day it was, and you're watching these games at 1 o'clock because Harry's on there talking baseball, and you maybe took his shirt off that day and sat in the bleachers. You don't know.
That'll be me at the case someday when this kid gets called up. But you talked about character, and this is what I've tried to tell people, how cool, calm, and collected Jack Caglione was. His media showed up to Omaha yesterday. They beat us, but that's okay. This was Caglione talking about his call-up and talking.
It'll happen when it happens, you know. Just hoping for good health and everything just kind of keep going the way it is. And whenever that day comes, everything will be good, so not really stressing about it. My thing was going in after spring training, I was like, all right, I'm just hoping to start in Double-A, to be honest with you. I'm not somebody that's going to add pressure to myself and put a timetable on anything. I'm just going to kind of take it day by day and just focus on being present, and I think that'll kind of take care of everything else.
I mean, that's there. That's the poise you want to hear. That, or he's a really good listener and he's very well polished with the PR. But either way, that's where his head's going to be at all the time. It's not going to be outside of it. It's not going to be, you know, over charismatic, but there's enough personality there where it's fun, it's entertaining. And like you said, my goal this year was just get to Double-A.
And he did that.
And he destroyed it. Yeah. And then he got to Triple-A. He has one bad game last night. I love you people that come after me that have to bring up the negative. I love you on Twitter.
But does it make them feel better about that? I guess. I don't know.
Because they were right about one game where I was right about.
Aren't we rooting for tags? Aren't we rooting for this guy to do good? Like, why do you want to take, like,
insane?
Like, that's called Schadenfreude, happiness at the misfortune of others. They feel Dusty's down because he went bad last night. So they took a shot at Dusty feeling that he's upset and they're going to feel better about themselves.
Right. I would take it as a compliment.
And I took it as this.
What are your first impressions of Ashton Jensen?
Oh, he's a beast. He's a beast. He's out there. You know, he's quick. He's fast. He's rocked up. He's thick. So he's pretty good.
Better believe it. And so to me, I hear what he got asked yesterday and how he responded. He talked about JJ and Cotrero talking to him. We'll talk to manager Q here in a little bit about this, because that's great. He's checking off every box except getting called up, because Bob even told you, you know, when it's getting close, when Rusty's out there with the fungo.
Yeah, and he was out there yesterday
with the fungo. Yep. So that's getting polished. His responses to the media are getting polished. JJ's talked to him. Cotrero's talked to him. Somebody asked Lucas Ersig yesterday about it. And it's going to happen. You just got to give it a little bit more time. But mid-June, maybe that's a spark you need, because he's not going to come in here thinking he has to be a savior. He just wants to be an addition, and he's happy to do it. And that will come naturally. And by God, let Max Fried be the first pitcher he sees hits a home run to right field in the Fountain. The whole place at Kauffman Stadium goes nuts. Now, that's me wishing in one hand and doing something in the other and seeing which one fills up faster. But by God, wouldn't that be something? If he faced Max Fried in the first at bat, he did hit a home run. But
so
no,
you got him up next week? 2 weeks?
See how this weekend goes.
Okay.
I think if this weekend goes electric, he can't have games like last night.
No.
But I think
God forbid a baseball player has a bad night.
But also I think it's a good thing. I also think it's a good thing for him in the situation to have that night.
Absolutely.
To see how he comes back tonight.
100%.
Because you know what Jersh is gonna do tonight? He's gonna plug him in at third in the order. He's gonna put him in right, or he's gonna put him at first.
Well,
all right, kid, go get it.
And that's what this is about. And that's what it's always about with Major League Baseball players. It's not how you handle the success and how successful you are. It's how you handle failure. Because most of these guys, the majority of these guys, I would say all of these guys that are at this level now, have never failed in their life at anything. And they don't know what it's like to fail. They don't understand how to pick themselves back up, because they've never had to be in these situations before. And that's what the minor leagues and this really AAA is all about. I think probably secretly last night, they're excited that he went 0 for 5 and had some strikeouts, because now you get the opportunity to see something that you haven't been able to see with this kid before. And that's battling back from a bad performance, battling back from a little bit of adversity, and we'll see how he handles that going forward. And I think tonight is going to be one of those games I think a lot of people in the organization are kind of dialed into, just to see what he does and how he performs after going 0 for 5 for the first time. For the first time in professional baseball, and really in his life, he faced an 0 for 5 type of situation. He's never had to respond from these before. I'm excited to see how he's going to respond. I'm actually glad he had a bad night, because we need him to have bad nights, because he's going to have bad nights up here. Everybody does. It's how you respond from those bad nights.
And that means he'll be there Friday and Saturday for Gold Night to go see him play in Omaha, because I've never been, and I want to continue to keep that trend going so it gets to happen on Friday and Saturday.